Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara 10 lines from the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored the Ilu Nishma Shalamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Shalav Aliyah. The Gemara is discussing machlokas between Rish Lakish and Biyochanan about the nature of Kinyan Peros. Is it like when you buy the rights to the field, is that like a Kinyan Haguf or not? When you buy the rights to the fruits of a field, is that considered something which is like you own the property or not? When the Gemara now wants to bring a support of Rabbi Yochanan, says that it is not like your Kona. So says the Gemara, Tashma, we learn from proof in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Bikur. The Mishnah says, Akona ilan vikarko, someone who purchases a tree and its area around it, may be vikora, he must bring Bikurim. And he says, the psukim of Bikurim, because it's considered like it's his. So even though the land is going back to the original owner in Yovel, the buyer is considered someone who owns the property, and therefore he says the psukim. If I said otherwise, Rabbi Yochanan says that Kinyan Peros is like Kinyan Haguf. So that would work for Rabbi Yochanan. If I said that before, if I said the opposite, then that's what I mean now. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. So this is a proof for Rabbi Yochanan to which Rish Lakish could reject it. Rish Lakish could say, Hacha ma'askinan bizman she'ena yovel noheg. We're talking about a time where there is no yovel. So in that case, the buyer is going to be acquiring the land, and he's buying the entire land because there is no state of Yovel, even though eventually Yovel will be reinstated, but still that's considered something which is permanent, at least for the time being, that it's considered like it's a permanent state, even though eventually it's going to be given back at a later point. So now the Gemara continues another raya for Rabbi Yochanan. Tashma, we can bring another proof from the Mishnah in Bikurim, earlier Mishnah. This is the other one was both in Parak Aleph. Then was the end, so now in the middle of the Parak over there, Aleph Vav. Tashma, Hakona Shnei Ilanos Besoch Sadeel Shel Chaver. If I buy two trees with your near field, maybe Ve'enakor. The lacha is that I can bring my Bikurim from there, but I'm not able to say the Psukim because it's not clear if that's considered the person owns the land to it. Maybe the other guy owns the land and you don't say the Psukim because it's not really fully your land yet. However, Hashlosha, if you buy three, so that implies that maybe Vikora you would be allowed to bring the Bikurim and say the Psukim, and we could say the Aretz Asher Nasata Li Hashem, those Psukim would be fine. So even though it goes back to the original owner at Yovel, L'chora, we see that it's considered a full sale, and there is maybe Vikore, to which Rish Lakish is going to say the same. I always wonder when the Gemara B'chal brings this up. They just say the same answer, very simple. What are they talking about over here? The Mishnah is dealing with a case where the Yovel is not Noeg. We weren't Noeg Yovel, and that's why it is something which is a full sale. So now the Gemara says, V'hashta da'amar Rav Chista, and now Rav Chista taught us the halacha machlokas b'yovel sheni. The machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish applies only from the second Yovel and onward, meaning that the first period of Yovel, but people were conquered Eretz Yisrael, and they were ready to keep all the Shemitahs and the Yovel. So after that point, only after the first section, meaning the first time that they went through 50 years and actually had Yovel, is there a machlokas of Yovel Yishon. But the first 50 years that the Jews had started counting the Yovel, when they were conquered Eretz Yisrael in the very beginning, Divrei HaKol, maybe the Kor, everybody would agree that a person who's buying Bikurim would be able to say the Psukim, even Rish Lakish. Why? Because the sellers themselves, they thought that maybe no one's really going to keep Yovel. Who says this guy's going to get back to the field in 30 years from now? I don't know. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I won't be alive and to be Toveahim. And so therefore, they had not actually seen that the land was going back to the Yovel. So the seller had in mind that it was a shtickle permanent sale. So therefore, the sale really takes place. And even according to Rish Lakish, that was something which is really owning the land at that point. However, after that point, then it's the Shaila. However, lo kasha, so then we could answer this according to Rish Lakish, that the first Mishnah, B'yelva Yerushon, that the two Mishnayos, that the buyer who's talking about the Bikurim, is referring to the first Yovel period, Ha-B'yelva Sheni, whereas the second one is talking about from the first 50 years and onward, where people know that Yovel actually was happening, people were keeping Yovel, then they would actually expect their land back. But if they sold the property the first 50 years, then that is something which they themselves had in mind that really might never be theirs again, and therefore was a permanent sale, and the person would be able to bring Bikurim and Bikore. Which is a fascinating thing. The Gemara is suggesting right now that these Mishnayos that we have in Bikurim, those two Mishnayos, are from the time of They were given over from the time of the beginning of the giving of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. We see the Mishnayos, we have like Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Mishnayos are, we don't realize this, but the Mishnayos that are compiled by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and we have Hillel Azakeh, and we have Shimon Gamliel, we have the Nesim. There's sometimes some of them are 200 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wasn't until 300 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Mishnayos vary sometimes from a period of a few hundred years. This would be a thousand years. This would be a period of the very beginning of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. This Mishnah was said that it's a fascinating thing that Mishnayos, we don't realize that some were said over. Obviously, Halacha L'Moshe Misina, we believe Hashem gave us over the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, but the things that were given over by Akiva, it said like that, the Nusach that he said it over was the way that we wrote it down. But you have Mishnayos like the Ezu Mekoman. The Shita Mekubetzah says famously by Ezu Mekoman, why do we say Ezu Mekoman? Because there's no machlokas, because it's taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no machlokas throughout Ezu Mekoman. And it says Chutz Min HaKlaim. Klaim in the time of the Mishkan, they had Klaim. So he thought since Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to us, that's why there's no machlokas, that's why Yudafka teach that, that's why we say that parak every day of Mishnayos. There's a shayla about that, that it seems to be that Korban Pesach might be a shayla. Okay, we're not going to get into that, but by Etzem, we see that those Mishnayos were taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. We have different, some say at the beginning of Bava Kama, the different Lashonos, they're interesting Lashonos of Bava Kama. Those Mishnayos were taught, that the Lashonos are from Moshe Rabbeinu as well. A very fascinating thing. So here, this Mishnah was taught from the time of the very beginning of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Lema Ketanai. Maybe this Machlokas Rabbi Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is really Machlokas Tanai, which we always point out when we quote Lema Ketanai, that is always rejected. It's a kasha. How could it be that we're presenting this as a Machlokas between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? It's a Beferish Machlokas between earlier Tanai. It's like now, if I presented to you a Shaila of a certain Shaila about something about, let's say, Bishul Akum, and I said, you know, turning on the fire, according to Rav Moshe, it helps. According to Rav Avadia, it doesn't help. So that's ridiculous for me to say it like that. It's machlokas Shulchan Aruch Rama. And the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to be more involved. Turning on the fire would not be enough to consider to remove the Bishul Akum aspect. And the Shulchan Aruch says that it is not. So that would be it would be crazy for me to present that as machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Avadia. They're just following earlier sources of their Masora of Ravi of the Shulchan Aruch versus the Rama. So here also that would be the same thing. That Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, why are you presenting Rabbi Yochanan to Machlokas Tanaim? And the Gemara will always reject the Lema Ketanai that for that reason. So, and what is the Machlokas Tanaim that seems to already discuss this? Minayin lokeach sada be'aviv. If someone is purging a field from his father, Reikdisha, and then he makes it hektish during his father's lifetime, and then it was still the son had been it's a stay achuzah. We'll get to him in a minute. What was a stay achuzah and stay mikna? Ve'achakach meis avin. Afterwards, his father dies and he inherits the field, so he makes him actually the actual owner now because he forever. Minayin shtei lefanav k'stei achuzah. From where do we know that it should be considered as a stay achuzah as opposed to a stay mikna? Talmud lomar im es sadeh miknaso asher lo mistei achuzah. So that as the pasuk says that a field that he acquired that is not of the fields of his inheritance from his ancestral inheritance, the pasuk means to be saying sada sheinu roei liyos sada achuzah, that only a field that is not fit ever to become an ancestral field, that is the halacha of a stei mikna. Yatzas azu, this is going to be excluded sheinu roei liyos sada achuzah, that is divrei Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So what exactly is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon saying? We need a little bit of background over here. There's a concept called the stei achuzah. Sukkim talk about that a person who's makdish a field that had been a stei achuzah. It's his family field. It's really his. So the halacha is that he has the right to redeem it before Yovel. If he does not redeem it by Yovel, so then Hektish will sell it to somebody else, or really they sell the field to somebody else, and they really, no, sorry. When you're makdish it, Hektish right away will sell it to somebody else. Then at Yovel, it goes back, but it doesn't go back. If you were never poda it, the person never was poda that amount from the person who bought it from Hektish. So then the halacha is that it goes to the Kohanim. It becomes the Kohanim of that Chalukah, and they receive that field, it becomes the Kohanim, and you lose that right. So that is the halacha of a stei achuzah, as opposed to a stei mikna. If you purchase a field in your makdish it, it's never really yours till Yovel. So at Yovel, it goes back to the original owner. So that's the shaila over here. If a person was makdish it, when he was makdish it as a stei mikna, which should have gone back to his father's estate. Hey, wait a second over here, but then he inherited the father's estate. That's the whole shaila. If you inherit the father's estate over here, so then, should I have said that it goes back to the son or not? Maybe that he should have been poda, and if he had not been poda, it actually should go to the Kohanim. So here we see that this sadeh is in fact something which is excluded, and therefore the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is telling us that since the field is really his ancestral fields, the time that he was potentially his ancestral field, the time that he was makdish it, so then the son would be going back to the son, and it would not go to the Kohanim. Obviously, if he would be makdish it after the father had died, then pashut, then the regular halachas would go that if he's never podeh it, then it would in fact go to the Kohanim. So the Gemara quotes, though Rabbi Meir Omer, Minay Lokech Sodom Aviv. So where do I know that someone purchased a field from his father, and his father died? And afterwards, he's makdish the field. Where do I know that it should be considered as a steachuz ancestral field? Talmud Omer, Im Es Sedei Miknaso, Asher Lo Mi Steachuzose. If he's going to be makadish to Hashem, a field that he acquired that is not the field of his ancestral heritage, Sedei She'eno Steachuza, that a field that is not his ancestral field at the time of a makdish is treated as a stay achuza. Yatzisazu, what's going to be excluded? She stay achuza. That this case is a stay achuza at the time that he makdish it, since he inherited the field before being makdish it. So then, according to Rabbi Meir, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. He understands that if someone's makdish a field that he had bought from his father and subsequently inherited the field, it's considered a stay achuza with respect to the pidyon, and therefore, had he not been podeid according to Rabbi Meir, then at that point you would lose out on the sada. That's Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara points out, either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon mace. So the court tribute of Shimon, in the case where the guy, where the purchaser's father died first, and then the purchaser was makdish it afterwards, lo tzricha kra. There is no pasuk to teach us, you don't need the pasuk to teach us that the field is treated as a steachuza. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, understands that you would need a pasuk to teach them. So what exactly is machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on one side, Rabbi Meir on the other. So the Rabbi Meir, Savar, Rabbi Meir understands, kinan peros ki kinan aguftam. It must be that Rabbi Meir understands that the ownership of the rights to the field's produce is like being the owner of the whole field. Uveha, and over here, in this case of the son who purchased his father's field, when there was Yovel, so then b'misas aviv hu de lo yaris velo mide. So when his father died, he had in fact inherited anything since he had already been the owner of the field. So therefore, you can understand that the field should be considered as the son's stay mikna the whole time. V'hilkach mes aviv akach gedisha. Therefore, if his father died first and then he was makdishit tzarich kra, then a pasuk is necessary to teach us that the field is now considered a stay achuza. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Savrei Kinnan Peros Lav Kipinan Aguftami. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, understanding that the fact that he bought the rights to the field, the produce for like he's leasing it, so that's not like you're actually the owner of the field. He's not like in essence owning it. So now, when his father dies and the son is inheriting him, then the field becomes his because he never really owned it before because it was only a Kinyan Peros. So therefore, the father dies and. And then he was makdish the sada. Again, we're talking about where he originally had purchased it in both these examples. So that case, you don't even need a pasuk to teach us that it's considered a stay achuza. That would be pashut. The son was never the owner, and he only became the owner afterwards. Then it's pashut like a stay achuza. Like dishavakach meis avivu desarach. Now, in the case where you bought it as a stay mikna, then you're makdish it, and then the father dies. That's where we need to learn that in that case it would in fact be treated as a stei achuza, and if you're not podeit, you would lose out on the rights. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Mish Lakish really are arguing over an earlier dispute. So the Gemara says, "No, Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak LaOlam Imalach." I could say to you the following: I could say, "BeAlma BeKasav Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Kinyan Aperos Kikinyan Aguf Dami," that owning the rights to the produce is in fact similar to owning the actual field itself. Their machlokas is how to darish a pasuk. So really, there is no shaila. Everybody could agree to either Rish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan that they're arguing a pasuk. Lift of Rachmana. When the pasuk could have said im et sademik naso asher lo chuzaso, that the field that you're acquiring that is not his ancestral field. The extra lashon of that why does it say asher lo chuzaso? My mistei chuzasa. Why do you have to mention that? So, what is the phrase that the field is not the fields of stei chuzasa? Why does the Torah feel the need to mention that? Sada she'ena ruildeo sada chuzah stei chuzah, a field which is not roi to be his ancestral field. That's when this pasuk applies. However, what would be excluded? Yasizu, our very case. where the cases was Shiro Elias de Achuza, it was fit to be the father's field. And therefore, Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir can all agree that ownership of the right to the produce, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is something which is like a kinyan haguf. It's like you own the essence of the entire field. And therefore, the son really was the owner. However, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon was a different shaila. Over here, there was a specific point, which is sada, which is ru'uya, to be the sons, that where things get tricky, and that's where the machlokas would apply. It's a local machlokas, not a thing about kinyan aguf versus kinyan aperos. So now the Gemara continues, Amar of Yosef, ilav damar biyochanan kinyan aperos kinyan aguf dami. And Rabbi Yochanan now taught this halacha, that buying the rights to the fruits, the produce, is something like you own the actual field. He would not have found a place to be in the base midrash. He would have been able to answer all the kashas. The Amar of Asi Amar Biyochanan, because Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, Achin Shechelku, brothers who divide an inheritance, Lekuchosein. They are considered purchasers in respect to the fact that they're dividing up the property of the father, they're purchasers. And therefore, if they're like a purchaser, Machzir and Lezeo Zeb Yovel, they have to divide and return to each other at Yovel and redivide the property. Because when the person dies, the fact that they're getting something, if you don't hold of Brera, then you don't hold it. It's really determined whose is what. And therefore, it should go back to each other at the years of Yovel. So, the Gemara says, now you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, ownership of the rights to the produce of a field is not like actual holding the field itself. So then you'll never find anyone who brings Bikurim ever. Because how could you ever have that? If they're all lekuchos, they're going back and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and never it's going to be actually theirs more than till the Yovel time. And if that's the case, then, and they'll reassess and they'll value it again based on what the property is worth now. So then if you only have one boy after, who's the son of one boy, it's only that one is the one inheriting it. Would there be a case of there's no, chalukah going back? Every other case, it would be going back at Yovel, and then there would never be such a thing as, ever bringing Bikurin. So since Rabbi Yochanan understands that Kinyan Aperos is like Kinyan Aguf, then he's able to have this halacha over here, and that was what Rabbi Yochanan Shita was. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Kra Umas Nisa Misayla Reish Lakish. Here we actually have a Braisa and a Pasuk, which seems to be a Raya for Reish Lakish. Kra, the Pasuk, which says, Bimispar, turning on to the next. Amar now, Bimispar Shnei Tuvos Yimacher Lach. The Pasuk says that according to the years, that he shall sell it to you. This is referring to the amount of years till the Yovel you should be selling the property. So Masnisa, so that's what the pasuk is applied. It's only like a lease. It's not actually like you're owning it. Masnisa and Abraisa, which says a firstborn takes a double portion of a field that was sold by his father before his death, and it goes back to his father in Yovel. Now, if this there's a concept that when it comes to when it comes to something which is not Mochsuk L'Aviv, when he died, so then it's going to be something that is, the Bechor does not take something which is Beroi, Kivim Mochsuk. That's the Lashon of the Gemara, is a Joshua like that. The Pishtaim, he only gets the double portion of that which is, not which is supposed to come to the father at a later point, but only which actually has Tachlis right now. So if it's considered something which is supposed to be coming back to him, it's like a Kinyan Peros, then it really wasn't his. If it was his the whole time, the Kinyan Peros, the Lavka Kinyan Aguf, that's the price that supports him. That idea is a support for Reish Lakish, that he doesn't really own it, and therefore it's something which is really the father's the whole time, and that's why the person could get a double portion, even when he sold it to someone else, because it's coming back to him, but it really was like it was his the whole time. Amar Abaye Nakdinan Baal Benechse Ishto, a husband, in regards to the property of his wife's Malog property, Tzarech Harshai, he needs to be authorized from the wife in order to enter dealing with the property and dealing with the legal aspects of it, even though he enjoys the rights to the produce. That seems to be also like the Shita of Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, Lo Amar Ela Delo Nachis Aperit. We say this halacha where the husband did not need to enter with regards to the produce. However, Avanachis Aperit is coming in to enter for the produce, which he owns, it's his. Migo to Mishtai Dina Aperit, since he is going to be able to go to Beis Din for the produce, then Mishtai Nami Gufa, he can also go to Beis Din, I don't have to be worried, with regards to the property that was owned by the land. And he wouldn't need harsha, he wouldn't need a permission from the woman in such a case. Okay, with that we finish it off. Now we're continuing into Perek HaNizokin. The Nizokin is a very nice Perek, a lot of lambdos here. So the Nizokin are things which we're talking about. Shamilan Be'idis. There's three types of property that a person could collect from, which the Gemara's all time will discuss, is Idis, Beinonis, and Ziboris. There's the highest quality peiros of the guy that he owns, of the fields that the guy owns, the middle quality field that he owns, and the lower property that he owns. So when it comes to nezek, so nezek is something which is set aside as going to be from the best superior land. The reason that they did that is also, this is a continuing on the idea of tikkun olam, we don't want people damaging things. So if you're very much discouraged, you're going to have to give your best property away. Again, the amount is the same. But who wouldn't rather, if a guy owes $500,000, so would you rather a $500,000 apartment in the center of Manhattan or $500,000 in the middle of Louisiana worth of, 25 acres of fields? Who cares? Nobody really wants that property. It's the same $500,000, but everyone would rather the apartment in Manhattan. That's Idis. So here also, we want to discourage the idea of Nezek, and therefore we make them pay with regards to the higher quality, which is going to be Idis. Now also should be noted that all cash and anything like cash that Gemara learns out is Yashiv, Lo Shavah Kesef Gezev, everything is going to be considered Idis for that purpose, and now cash obviously is the best, that's also fine. So here, then we also have, when it comes to a Balchov is going to be Bebeinonis, the Gemara is going to discuss all these cases, it is the medium level one, and then we also have Ksuba, she only gets Ziboris, from the lowest level. Those are the three types that are given to the three different people that are collecting over here. Now the Gemara continues another halacha. Ein Ephraim and Nechasim and Shubadim. Generally, as we said, people are entitled to the higher level. Let's say a guy has Nezek and he has damages of $500,000. And he has property in Louisiana worth $500,000, but he also has the apartment in Manhattan that he just sold. He sold it, 2 weeks after the damage had occurred. So the guy really had a lien on that property. He shouldn't have sold it, but he did sell it. So the halacha is, once he sells it, so then, ain't it from nechasim mishubadim b'makom sheish b'nei chorin. You're not allowed to take property from that which was, had property had a lien on it, meaning that which he sold, where you have literally free property, meaning a property in Louisiana that was not sold by him, and he still owns it, then you should collect from that one, even afilu in zivaris, even those the Louisiana properties are going to be, the worst, inferior, nobody wants them, but still, that's the halacha, because we don't want to make him go back, and it's not fair that he sold it to some other guy, watch the guy who bought it lose out, even though he knew there was a risk, obviously, but we don't, that's part of tikkun olam, that you'll collect the property, your value from the inferior quality. Also, you're not allowed to collect debt from orphans if this guy had owed money. It was owed money by the father. It's not like American law. I believe that right, it ends. I think that the debt the person doesn't transfer unless he has. I don't know exactly how it works, but I think that's him. It is not transferable. As opposed to halacha, we don't recognize it. The guy had a halva. The guy dies, so the children are chayav to pay back that halva. So, if they have property, they can only collect it. Even if it wasn't, let's just say, Alva, or the stipulated was Bezibors, Idis, or he had Nezek against him, and he didn't pay up the money yet, he can only collect him from the inferior land, from the Yisomim. Now the Mishnah continues, Ein Motzin L'Achilas Peros Shavach Karkos. We don't collect for Achilas Peros Shavach Karkos, so the improvement of the land. The person whose produce was stolen and then taken by its owner. So the purchaser has a demand that from the thief that improvements of the land is he should be getting back the money. So that we can only get from L'Shevach Harkos, improvement of the land, or that L'Mazon Isha V'Abanos, or supporting the wife or the daughters. He has to support them, and so she's able to continue being supported. So then Menachasim Mishubadi, you're not allowed to collect them from property which has been sold and had a lien on it. Because that's tikkun olam, because that you're protecting the people who are purchasing it. Everyone's going to be afraid that these cases would happen all the time. They would never buy things from people, so that would be a problem for obviously the real estate market. So therefore, tikkun olam, so they can't collect from lien these specific people. And then the Gemara continues, v'amotze mitzia, someone who finds a lost property, lo yishava, doesn't have to swear that if you're returning a lost object to his owner, he claims that you don't return all the property, all of the mitzia. So you say, no, I had this, but I don't have that, and they take an olam because you're never going to do it. You want to encourage people to return lost things. If you're going to have to swear about it, obviously you're going to be more scared, and you don't want to deal with it. You say, you know what, I don't want to deal with this, I don't want to get involved. That's going to be a lacha that you cannot do that. So then the Gemara says, when they take an olam, the idea that a person is collecting a damaged property, gets from Nezek, from the Meta, from the best. The Gemara points out that's a Dereisa, it's in Dereisa. What do you mean, Tikkun Olam? The Pasuk says, Meta Sadeo, Meta Kalmar Shalem, a person who injures someone else, the Psukim say that he has to pay from his best field. It's clearly talking about his Idis, his best field. So it says the Gemara, Amra Abaye, Lo Tzricha El Rabbi Shmuel. This idea of the Tikkun Olam is only according to Rabbi Shmuel. What did Rabbi Shmuel say? Rabbi Shmuel says the following, Damar Medereisa, but Denizak Sheminen. Who is Meitav Sadeo? Who has to pay the damages of his best field? Is it in terms of the mazik, the one who actually did the damage, or the person who's the damaged property? So we're talking about, he says that we're actually talking about the one whose property was damaged, it's his best fields. That's the halacha. So when you pay the damage with the land, it must be the qualitative amount of the best fields of the person who was damaged. So the Gemara says, so then according to him, Kamashman, there is, the Tana is teaching us, so then the Rabbanan says that we're allowed to choose the Meitav in terms of the damager's property and not from the Nizak. That is the Tikkun Olam over here, and that was the din going on. So the Gemara says, so what exactly, my Rav Shmuel, what is this teaching of Rav Shmuel that he teaches us, that he says this halacha? The sign of the braces says the following: Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. The pasuk says that you have to pay; the animal has to pay the best field. The person who's field animal damages another field. You have to pay from the best of your quality fields. So the Gemara says, "Now Meitav Sadeo." So the Gemara almost paralleled exactly in Bava Kama. Meitav Sadeo Shenizak, or Meitav Karmo Shenizak. The damages party's best field and also his best vineyards. You have to pay with Debbie Rabbi Shmuel. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. That's the lach of the brisa. So we're just fleshing out. Gemara is going to discuss exactly. You always have to pay the best. We'll get to that. Rabbi Kiva Omer lo bakosuv elegvos nizikim mina idis. That it's just telling you that you collect from the superior land. V'kavachomer lektish. And certainly when you're collecting from hektish, the Gemara is going to discuss what this means. But that you also have to collect from the best of the fields. So now the Gemara wants to, assuming that Rabbi Shmuel meant that the person who damages always has to pay the. For example, let's say, you know, Reuven's animal goes into and just damages Shimon's field. So you have to pay. So now you have to pay the value of the damaged party's best field, even though he actually damaged a lesser quality field. That's the Gemara's Havamina right now. And then Rabbi Kiva responding to that would be that he would say that that's not true, that you only have to pay what actually was damaged. So the Gemara is assuming that you'd actually have to pay potentially more than you actually damaged, according to Rabbi Shmuel. To which the Gemara asks that. The Gemara says, Ul Rabbi Shmuel, Achol Shmina Meshalem Shmina. I understand that if an animal ate the best of the other guy's field and he caused $10,000 worth of damage, fine. So then, Achol Shmina Meshalem Shmina. However, Achol Khusha Meshalem Shmina, that if a person, his animal, ate the worst quality of that guy's field, and now you have to pay his best field, so he's gonna have to pay more than he actually caused. He caused $1,000 of damage. You're gonna make him pay $10,000 because that's the amount that should be of that area. If you take that, right, let's say there's 100 square meter area, so you that 100 square meter of his best field is worth $10,000, as opposed to if it was his worst property, it'd be $1,000. You're gonna make him pay $9,000 more than he actually damaged. The Gemara says that the Gemara refuses to entertain that. So that says the Gemara that can't be. Rather, Amar of Idi Baravin, Acham asking, what does Rabbi Shmuel mean? Kigon sha'achla aruga bin arugos. So Rabbi Shmuel talking about a case where an animal ate from an aruga. Aruga is like an area, like a square area of a field that we don't know where it was. We don't know if it was the guy's best property or his worst property. Rabbi Shmuel tells us that you have to pay from the best, assuming that it was the best one. That is what Rabbi Shmuel is learning out that happens on this pasuk. So the Gemara says that's also a very difficult understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. Amar Rava, Ili Adina Dechusha Achal. So now you're going to tell me that the animal ate from a small one. So then, Mishalim Klusha, then you would agree that you'd pay from the smaller one. You don't have to pay more than $1,000 of damage. So now, the fact that Hashalita, now we don't know which one he ate. Mishalim Shmini is going to have to assume that you paid the more expensive version. It was either $1,000 or $10,000. You're going to assume he has to pay the $10,000 out of Suffolk. That's against the Aleph Beis of the Lachas that we learn when it comes to knowing about who has to pay a certain amount. We have the concept called Hamotzi Mechavir Alaraya. The burden of proof is the one who's trying to take the money from his friend. Right, we learn from there that Amotzi Mechavir Alvaraya, that's the halacha b'din all of dinim amanos, that generally a person, if I'm trying to take money from you, I have to prove my claim. And if I don't prove my claim, I can't just say, we don't say, Mumana Mutama Safek Cholkin, like Sumchos. We hold that Amotzi Mechavir Alvaraya. We assume Rabbi Shmuel holds like that as well, so it can't be that this is what the case of Rabbi Shmuel is in the Pasuk either. So rather, says Gemara, Ella Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov, turning on to the next number now. What are we dealing with over here? We're talking about a case going to Idis to Nizak is Zibor to Mazik. We're talking about a case where the best land of the damaged property is comparable in quality to the worst land of the damager. And so therefore the damager pays with land. Rabbi Shmuel suffered, but the Nizak Shimon Rabbi Shmuel understands that Midaraisa we should have what's considered the the metav, the best part, is what the damager, the guy is damaging. So therefore, you could offer even your worst quality land in that case, and that's what Rabbi Yishmael is understanding. And Rabbi Kiva suffered the mazik shemin, and Rabbi Kiva understands that we are assessing the damage, what's considered metav in terms of the damager's own properties. So therefore, you have to pay with his superior land, even if that is better than the land of the person who was the nizak, who was in fact damaged. Okay, we'll get to Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow's daf, my time with Rabbi Shmuel, the explanation for the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, Be'ezras Hashem in tomorrow's daf.